Welcome to the latest edition of the We Are Sailing podcast, and I'm delighted to say that we're recording in our new studio here at the SMH Group Stadium. I'm joined by Ashley Kirk and
Hello.
John Crute.
Hello, Nick.
So great to be here, and it's a work in progress, so we will gradually improve the audio, but we hope that this is a good start, and we're underway.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be nice for the weekend warm-up to have a home, and it'll mean we'll be able to get a few more players and coaching staff in at the drop of a hat to hopefully give you a bit more interesting content as we go through next season.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. So no excuse now to not get people involved, because before it was a case of having to take them up to a studio away from the stadium, but now we're right on the doorstep, so that'll be fantastic. So we've got plenty to talk about, as we discussed in the planning meeting, which was about 5 minutes ago. So we're going to start by talking about the big one, winning the title. Let's look at the build-up to that. You know, we were just wondering when we were going to wrap up the title.
Well, we had a week, didn't we? We were at Oldham, and it could be on the drive back. But we didn't manage to beat Oldham, and then Barnet and Bromley messed up, and then it could be Tuesday when Barnet are playing, so we had a lounge full.
Which was
a bizarre thing, wasn't it?
It was surreal. I mean, Barnet were playing Eastleigh, and yet we had car park stewards working.
I think we had 500 down at the ground. We had 300 in the lounges, a bunch sort of milling around the concourse. We needed stewards, and I think there was all of 1,000 people at Barnet, so it was a... Anyway, we didn't get it over the line, and then it was off to the quagmire of Halifax for a game that perhaps shouldn't have been played, but both teams were keen to get it on.
Yeah, yeah, no complaints from us.
No, and Halifax ran out deserved winners. So, to be fair, it worked out the best of all worlds, because we were able to get across the line at home in front of a full house, and hopefully everyone will remember that till they all dropped dead. But that was what a day. What a fantastic weekend, yeah.
TNT got it spot on, didn't they? They picked that game a couple of weeks before. Yeah. They had a premonition that we were going to win it there at home, I think. So it was nice to get over the line, and from people keep saying, oh, John, it's only a time of if, or it's only a time of when, not if. And, great to do it finally.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone managed to restrain themselves and keep off the pitch, which was good to see. to see the scenes, I mean, it was such an emotional day for everyone, I think. You know, I had at least 10 grown men come up to me, hugging me in tears, you know, I'd never met before. I was in tears. The rest of the, you know, it was a lovely day. Lovely day, and, you know, the celebrations went on long into the night and into the next day as well. So it was,
and the day after that, I think.
And it was a long hangover the next week, that's for sure.
You'd obviously take a title win at any time, but if you could plan it to actually win it at your own stadium in front of your fans, a packed stadium, you know, that's the ideal way.
I think Phil Tooley said it was 1936 the last time we'd won a. So there will not be many people alive who remember that last game. So I think everyone ought to take just a moment and think, well, how lucky we are to be able to win a title in front of a full house as well, you know, at home on our pitch, lovely day, with a thumping 3-0 win. I mean, it was perfect, wasn't it?
Everything dropped into place.
Yeah, 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 fantastic. And, you know, we got some good media interest from outside, didn't we, which is good, a bit of a long time coming, but, you know, it was nice to get some coverage as well.
Yeah, I was suddenly having to shoehorn members of the media into the press box. Normally I can spread people out and make it look quite full, but this time there was no worry about that. It was, how do I fit everybody in? So suddenly everybody's interested. We must have had probably about 20-odd photographers alone, where when you think about it, we might usually have 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So that shows you the interest. The press box can hold just over 40, and that was overflowing. So then you have to decide, you know, who can come in. There are people that you've not seen for years who suddenly turn up. But that's a great problem to have when you've got more interest than usual. So we'll always take that and work through that sort of scenario. Yeah. So yeah, fantastic to be back in the Football League. Yeah. It's been 6 long years, John.
Absolutely, it has indeed. And as much as we've been welcomed around the National League, it's great to be back in the EFL. It really is. It the memories will, good or bad, will live long in the memory, really. You know, the Maidenheads, the Chorleys. It's been a learning curve, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to get out. It's great to think we're a Football League club again. It gives everyone just that. As I've said it before, it's just a sense of pride. You walk a bit taller, don't you?
Yeah.
And the congratulations we've had from other teams in the National League has been has been lovely. You know, they've been to a team have been very supportive and said well done, congratulations, deserve it. And you know, it's that was good to see. You know, and I think to be fair, we've done it in a way that, you know, we've served a time. We've done the playoffs, we've done the semi-finals, we've done the final. And then to go up as champions was fantastic.
I mean, certainly since the Trust took over, I think we were second bottom of the National League, and we've had a higher and improved league position ever since. Just got in the playoffs with the last position the first year, then a bit higher, then obviously getting to the final last year, and then winning it with a few weeks spare this year. So, it's been great, really. And as you say, we've had congratulatory messages, really, from the National League and beyond, to be honest.
Yeah, and I've got to say that all the press boxes that I go in, the amount of people who come up and say, you know, delighted to see you back in the Football League. There's been a lot of goodwill, load of messages from people as well around the country saying, it's been a fantastic season, fully deserved. So, yeah, it's just great to get that recognition, and that Football League status is just so important. We all had that disappointment last year at Wembley, and it's been a tremendous response from the word go that the players and management have put that disappointment behind them and hit the ground running, and it's been fully deserved.
Well, the target was set at the start of the season. Well, the target was set very close after Wembley, to do better than we did the year before, which obviously meant finish second or first and go up. And, big tick in the box on both those counts. So it's fantastic. Great performance by the lads.
It's great to be the first National League team to, after losing a playoff final, to go straight up the following year. No other team's done that in this league before, which is some comeback, really, because I know some clubs have always found it quite difficult to come back from a playoff final defeat. But we've done it and done it in some style, really.
Yeah, there seems to be a hangover at times, but that's never been the case here. I wasn't aware of that stat, actually, about losing finals and going on to win.
Yeah, for the first club to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
it was important that... It's easy to sort of look back and think, oh, how unlucky we were, but it was important that we kicked on. And to be fair, the manager would not let anyone in the club rest at all. He was determined. And it takes a lot of energy, this league. It saps it out of you. And, you know, the thought of having to stay, you know, of not making it this year would have been terrible to contemplate. So it's a massive sense of relief that we're out there, out of it. But, you know, it's great. Great.
There are some long journeys in this league, aren't there?
You know, yeah.
A lot of travelling.
Yeah. And the fans deserve it. We've been...
Absolutely.
You know, we're averaging virtually 8,000 at home this season, which is absolutely incredible. It's 1,000 up on last year. The fans have been great. You know, the support they've given the club, both on the pitch and, you know, financially by coming through the gate and you know, everyone's... The shop has been the busiest it's been by 60-70%, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
The amount of support the fans have given, and the fact that everyone's walking around the town wearing the badge is, you know, it just shows people are proud to wear it. It's great. It's fantastic. And, it's good to give them a team that they're proud of.
Just talking about the playoffs, and we experienced that last season. Any thoughts on who you think might go up via the playoffs this time?
Well, for me, it seems to change every week, I think, to be honest. I thought Barnet, so I thought Bromley, I thought Oldham might get in there, but that's looking less likely, but they may still do it. I think
I think Barnet will get a home draw and will probably win at their place. But if Altrincham or Gateshead, I mean, Gateshead have got five games left in less, almost like a week and 2 days, haven't they? Got to play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. But if they can get through that lot, I think Altrincham or Gateshead will beat Barnet at Wembley because it's a different type of pitch and it's the way they play football. But, I mean, to be fair, I don't really mind as long as it's not Solihull.
Yeah, I think...
Should have said that.
I think Bromley are always not far away. I think certainly if they make the top three, they've got a home game. And then, you know, it's a bit of a lottery, as we found out last year in the final at Wembley. So I think Bromley could well find themselves up there as well.
We talked about the fantastic support, and that was shown last week at the kit launch that we had. We had something quite different. We had the new home and away kits for next season launched here at the SMH Group Stadium. Invited fans to come along. It's one of those events where it's difficult to predict how many people will turn up. The weather wasn't on our side as well. It was raining. So then you thought, well, is that going to seriously affect the turnout? And I think we're all very pleasantly surprised to see the amount of people who turned up.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Astonishing.
Last year we did. It was the first time we did a proper kit launch. And I think, to be fair, I don't see many other clubs doing it, certainly not at our level anyway. Yeah. And even at the high level, they do it in a different way. But, you know, when Kingy and Coco got married last year, there was about 300 people turned up for the ceremony. And the players were there and they got mobbed for it. So I was thinking, well, if we get 500 maybe, that would be good because there's a bit more car parking down here. But, I mean, there was close on 2,000 people.
Yeah, it's
and it was chucking it down. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there were more people really at the kit launch than come to some matches in our league.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible to think that, isn't it? You know,
Barnet's average crowd is 1,800 at home. Yeah. So.
I can't remember who told me, but was it you, John? Somebody said that, I know that somebody commented and who didn't know what was happening said, is there a match taking place?
Yeah, somebody asked me, they were passing Sheffield Road, said, is there a match on? I said, it's a kit launch.
I mean, Bridget, who sort of organised it, put on a great show. We had a band, we had a barbecue van, ice creams, the bars were open. I think people made, and he said, even though it rained, because we were able to get the concourses and the seats open in the stand, people you know, were able to stay dry and just had a nice afternoon. And then there was a bit of shock when the away kit came out, and you know, that everyone went away happy. I think we've had a lot of orders. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but we've had a lot of sort of pre-orders, and the kit will be arriving in the shops June the 10th. We're expecting, we have to order a certain number and we can't order again. We are expecting it to sell out during the course of the year. So if there's a specific size you want, I do recommend that you sort of get an order in or you know, get down to the shop and you can pre-order it down here as well, just to make sure you get the right size, you know, because we're expecting it to be popular.
I know people listening will think, well, yes, they're going to say that there was a great response to it, but genuinely there was. I look at, obviously, the social media response particularly. And, so many good comments about it. I think the away kit, perhaps one or two people were thinking, well, it's very different. How is it going to be received? For me, it was something that in my immediate thought was, not sure, but it quickly grew on me. And I think a lot of people like the fact that it is very different.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that I've read that have said, well, I never normally buy a shirt, but I'm ordering that one. It's a bold design and has been really well received.
And it allows us, I think, I mean, to be fair, the poor designer, the girl, Esty, did a great job. She's only young. She was being interviewed live by Phil when they came out. I think she was panicking whether she was going to get booed or what. I don't know. But it allows us to do, and she was explaining this, it allows us to do clever things. I mean, it's the first, John might correct me, but I think it's the first time we've changed the colours of the main badge, isn't it?
To make it all one
to make it all
specifically
one colour.
For a kit, yeah,
and it just allows us to do different things with the it sounds a bit marketing nonsense, doesn't it, with the brand and the badge and all that sort of thing. But it just, you know, it just makes it a bit more modern and brings it up to, hopefully brings it up to date, and, you know, we can do interesting stuff. And, yeah, I mean, it's been received. I reckon there's about 5 to 10% are like, oh, my God, what have you done? And the 90% are love it. So, yeah. Which is the right, I mean, obviously, you're never going to please everyone. But it's been a great response.
Like you say, Nick, I think it grows on people. You know, I've only heard good things about it, to be honest. I was, you know, I thought, well, it's different. How will it get received? I mean, I liked it from the start, but I did wonder that. I think we all perhaps did, but no, it's been received great, really. And you know, I think last season's kit took some beating, and I think certainly for the away, we had to almost be quite radical in how we did it, and I think we've achieved that.
Yeah.
We should mention the shirt sponsor, of course, Leangate Valves, who've been involved for so many years with the club, going back to the Saltergate days. And, yes. Yeah, they've been terrific. They've signed Stephen, up again.
Getting on 20 years now. Yeah,
signed up again. Stephen Lee and the family, the whole family, have been very supportive of the club. But they are so proud of... It's funny, that we revealed the kit to them, didn't we, before we showed it to anyone else. They came in for breakfast the day before, and they were saying how proud they feel to see Leangate Valves on little kids walking around town. He said it's not something they'd ever imagined before, and the exposure they've had as a company has been massive. So hopefully they're getting some, you know, commercial value out of it, as well as showing the support for the club. You know, and we're looking at selling again a fair number of kits next year, so, you know, hopefully their exposure will grow too. But they've been fabulous supporters, haven't they? You know, they get behind all the awards we have, and they're always front and centre at supporting the club. So if ever you need a valve, you know where to go.
I'll keep that in mind. Next time I need a valve.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was only, I think, the end of last year when I was talking to them, I realised they did equipment for training ground.
Yeah.
You know, which they just happened to drop in that, you know, I think they said they supplied.
So the valves in our training ground, I think, can be supplied by them. They supplied Wimbledon tennis and... Yeah. Chelsea Football Club and all sorts. They do all sorts of things.
I've had a look round their factory in the past on a player visit who's gone along to see what they do. It's incredible when they talk about the numbers that they're shipping out every day, you know, all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And as you say, have been terrific supporters of the club and sponsors of the club for so many years. And I know that Lee and Steve are passionate supporters. So great to see them getting a lot of pride out of seeing their name on the shirts.
Yeah, it's good.
And they will be among other sponsors as well at the Player of the Year event next Wednesday. It's been put back a couple of days because of the rearranged Gateshead fixture.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a sellout as well. So if you're listening and think, oh, fancy going to that, unfortunately, you're too late. So we'll, of course, be putting out the details on social media on the night, revealing who's won the various awards. Can't give anything away. Yeah. But we have, I think it's 10 awards that we're handing out. And, should be another great night here at the stadium.
It should be a memorable night. I mean, we had it down for the Monday, didn't we? But, again, Paul and the team obviously want to approach the gate, even though the job's done. They've got to approach the Gateshead game with professionalism, and they want lads to have plenty of rest before the game. But they also want them to enjoy the Player of the Year night if they can. So that was why it was moved to the Wednesday. And we've had a good response from people who've had to move, you know, the tickets. Everyone understands. There's obviously been a couple of people who've had to rearrange it, which has meant the waiting list has been ticked off. But it should be a really good night. I think there's 280 people going, so, you know, the place will be rammed.
It's great as well this year that there's so many candidates for Player of the Year. You know, I don't think there's a particular standout candidate this year. We've got so many players that have had great seasons and done really, really well.
Yeah.
Really right from, you know, the goalkeepers right through to the front line, really.
I know the voting's been open for a while, hasn't it? So we'll have to wait. Have to wait and see.
Yeah, so, we're going to honour various people both on the field and off as well. We do look at recognising people who've served the club loyally over the years, so that there's a an award there. We also, for the very first time, we can reveal we're having men's and women's awards in the Academy, because the growing women's section of the Academy means that we'll be also giving out a Women's Academy Player of the Year. So yeah, that's a development to go in hand with the fairly recent introduction of the Chesterfield FC Women's Player of the Year. So.
Yeah. Well, the Academy, you know, I know the number of female scholars is going up, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. Which is great. They're doing a great job over there. I mean, perhaps it's a time to mention that, you know, we're very close to having straight after this podcast, John and I have got a meeting with the EFL about reintroducing the, I don't know what the technical term is it called an elite academy?
Or yeah, the academy, yeah.
The academy, so where we're having, you know, paid scholars come in and at an under 17 level. And I think we're pretty committed to going down to starting off with a category, what they call it, a category 4 academy system for next season, and then look at expanding it up and improving it again to a category 3. What did we have when we went down? Do you know what the equivalent level was? I can't remember.
We went down, I think, with Academy 3.
Cat 3. So that's something that, you know, in the strategy we are looking to get back to. But that involves us finding 8 changing rooms and a number of facilities. So year 1, I think we'll stick at Cat 4, which is just a slightly lower level and makes the transition a lot easier. But we'll find out a bit more in about an hour, won't we?
Yeah, because promotion does mean that we do access funding for it, albeit there has to be a contribution from the club. But the club are committed that's a way we want to go forward. We want to grow the academy. We very much want to try and find local talent and bring it through, really, don't we?
Yeah, as far as we understand it, basically it means that the EFL sort of cover the wages of the players, but we have to pay for the training and the pitch hire and all that sort of stuff. So, but we'll find out more shortly, won't we? But it's obviously important for the club to get that almost like not production line, but that talent line moving again. And I know all the coaches, all of them, are very keen to get that up and running again, and just to get a proper production line of players coming through that we can hopefully get and see in the first team and give them a pathway. It won't be immediate because they're starting at a junior level, but, you know, 2 or 3 years, we should start to see players dripping in, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things, really, with Paul Cook coming back to the club, Paul's been keen ever since he came back to get some young lads that every training session, young academy boys go up to train with the first team. And he's really keen to just integrate it in so that they pick up, you know, good habits around training.
When all's been decided with the future of the academy, no doubt it's something we could cover in a future podcast and get other people involved just to explain a little more, really, because you find that supporters, although of course the most important thing is how the team at the first team level is performing, you do find that supporters are also very interested in the academy and plans for the development of younger players.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. I think there's every football fan loves to see a local player playing for the club, whichever club that is for their club, somebody who's local from the area, and it always means it means a massive amount to them, and we're keen to make that happen, really. I mean, the other area as well that we've had a chat about this week and we're looking to progress, we mentioned about the women's award at the Player of the Year is the women's teams around the club, really. It's sort of a couple of years since Chesterfield Women were formed, and Andrea's done a great job with that. But we're just looking at a strategy on how we can move that forward as well. Because it's really important to us, and we know a lot of girls wanting to love the club and want to play as part of the club. And that's something as well that we're looking to move forward and progress.
Yeah, I think if we can have another side to the club that's performing well, and we need to look at ways of, you know, raising them through the football pyramid, then it can only benefit all the club, really, the town, and you know, give people access to some more decent sport. So it's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, and we will be getting Chesterfield Women on the pitch this season, once the last game's done, which is sort of a week and a half away. We are looking at getting a match on there. It's important to us, isn't it?
Yeah.
So keep an eye on the club website and the social media channels for details of that. You heard it here first, the Chesterfield FC women turning out at the SMH Group Stadium, and it was very well received around this time last year when they played a fixture, a lot of people turning up to support the girls.
Yeah, we got caught out, to be honest. We thought they'd, you know, I think we said 200, then Andrea said, oh, I think there might be 500, and in the end, 1,600 turned up, so... we'll be better prepared this year, that's for sure.
And looking ahead to Friday night here, we have an England versus Scotland schoolboys match taking place. Something that we're all looking forward to and have memories of similar games in the past when some of the up and coming talent first played in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we were contacted originally by one of our former players, Marvin Robinson, who's involved in the England school setup, and he said, you know, I'd love to do it at a club where I played. How do you feel about it? And as we say, we're always keen to encourage young talent. Yeah, yeah. And also the academy that particularly Justin has worked with the schoolboys, and we're now working with Derbyshire schoolboys as well, so it was sort of a natural fit there as well. But yeah, it's great to have them in. It's Scotland. It's the big fixture for them for the year, and certainly I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a good and interesting game. Obviously, it'll be perhaps a bit daunting for some of the younger lads to come and play, but we'll hopefully get a decent crowd in, so that's fine. And then, obviously, you know, going forward to that, the last game that we've got here is it's a big sellout, and we've got a few things planned for that. So I'm not sure if we perhaps won't reveal them, but I would suggest
give them a teaser, Ash. Give them a teaser.
And make sure you get in. Early. Don't miss the teams walking out. And at the end of the game, one thing actually we must mention. Yeah, at the end of the game, we are going to have a lap of honour with the players and their families, and the coaching staff and their families. And there'll also be a little bit of, celebrating the fact that we've won the title, of course. Followed by the lap of honour. So it is. We all had a fun day when we won the league, and we all went on the, we all went on the pitch. But it's really, really important that people stay off the pitch and let the players enjoy their moment, and let all the fans in the stadium enjoy the lap of honour and rewarding the players and recognising the players for what they've done. We got the pitch cleared when they went round with the trophy, but they didn't manage to make it down the West Stand because quite a lot of people came back on the pitch, and we really, really need to avoid that because we want the players and the manager and the coaching staff to have their moment with their families. It's a rare time. We're going back to 1936 and saying, you know, we're having two bites at the cherry actually to celebrate winning, and it's important that we all play our part and let them enjoy it, and let everyone in the stadium enjoy it.
Well, it's a great way to round off the season, and you might have supporters who miss the celebrations after the Bournemouth Wood match. They're booked ahead for the final game of the season and want to have that opportunity to celebrate with everyone here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was to reiterate Ash's comments, really. I certainly had some supporters that had come along with children who they didn't really get a chance to see the players with the trophy after the Boreham Wood match. So it really is important that we keep off the pitch, and also it saves the FA sending me a letter.
Yeah, and we got one or two things planned, which mean you're putting yourself in mortal danger if you do go on the pitch as well. I'm just, you might get burnt. That's all I'm saying.
And fire even.
Yeah. Not just Will Grigg. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, not only Will Grigg on fire this time. So we're going to talk now about plans in place to return to the Football League. It's fantastic that we can say that we do have to put those plans in place. But perhaps, John, if you could just tell us what's actually happening in terms of the preparations, because, it is a league that we're all familiar with, but certain changes have taken place over the last 6 years. So important that everybody at the club is ready for league football returning?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to have emails from the EFL dropping in my inbox, which has been fantastic, really. Not just the congratulatory ones, which were sort of the first ones through, but yeah, we've got a delegation booked in from the EFL to come through all various different aspects of the club, and some have contacted me separately, so this sort of governance, commercial, and the big one as well will be the football admin department, because to see exactly what contracts we will have to reissue, professional contracts, EFL contracts. So we've got to go through all that. So it'll be a busy summer, but an enjoyable summer, and it's how we wanted it to be. And we're really, really looking forward to it. But yeah, I think the EFL, by the sound of it, will be here from pretty much for the full day. They'll also be doing a facilities check in around November time. We had to fill documents in. Every National League club does, in case they do get promoted, and an EFL document, and they come in back to, I think, with a checklist to go through it all. And, you know, they mentioned that they'll even be down to sort of measuring changing rooms and things like that, getting the tape measure out. So
hopefully they've not shrunk.
Yeah, in 6 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something we're really looking forward to, and working with. We've got our department managers down here at the club ready to meet them, and we're all lined up and looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got to get our heads around. There's lots of financial regulations, yeah. not just, you know, you've got to, like, the financial fair play or the SCMP regs, but just the reporting back into the EFL. There's big reports we've got to have in by the end of June, and then you've got to keep those up to date quarterly, and, you know, just it's a very different type of information that the National League have been asking for. So that again is a big change and a step up, and we'll be interested. The finance team are coming, aren't they, as well, I think?
Yeah, they are.
So again, that's just something else that we'll have to find out a little bit more, ask some searching questions, and make sure we've got it all covered. And then there's squad numbers we've got to manage, and you know, who can play and who can't, and all that sort of stuff. And there's the drug testing,
yeah,
which is much more stringent.
Yeah.
So there's a whole thing that the players that have got to get to grips with. But we'll obviously find out more by the end of the month. But it's a bit of a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's great. I mean, like you say, the financial reporting, Ash. But, you know, it's great that the disciplines that we should be doing anyway, and the fact that it will come back to benefit us in,
yeah,
that each year the EFL do, for instance, benchmarking, which is something that personally I'm really looking forward to, where we do benchmarking to compare the various different aspects of the club with other clubs, comparable clubs.
It's anonymous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's anonymous, but it does give you the flavour of where you are with things, which is great. So it'd be really useful.
And promotion brings about not only a change for the club, but also for the community trust, because the trust has been a prominent player in the National League Trust, but now back with the Football League Trust, and that will bring about further opportunities for the trust.
Yeah, it will. There'll be more funding available from projects with the EFL. I was reading one yesterday, actually, that they've got with Kellogg's. And I think the EFL Trust have been doing it for a few years. They said they're making grants available to every EFL club. So, I mean, they've not met us yet, but I presume we will be included in that, unless it's just that if you've got to be in by a certain date, I don't know. But, yeah, there are far more opportunities and a lot more support from the EFL Trust, and that's not at all knocking the National League Trust. It's just that the resource that's there, that they are able to, they're able to give more support to trusts and club foundations.
Yeah, in fact, I'm off to the. We've been invited. I'm lucky enough to be going to the EFL Awards dinner, and looking at the number of awards they give out, a lot of them are actually based around community work.
Yeah,
so I would hope that it's something that the trust will be able to, you know, apply for and maybe receive recognition for the work that they're doing. It's something that we'll be encouraging them to do during next season, because they do such a good job, and obviously they've won other awards in the past. I'm pretty sure that with the work that they do and the the structure we've got over there, they'll be in contention anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We've obviously kept a close contact with a lot of AFL clubs, and we share best practice. They come to us for some things, we go to them. But yeah, I mean, we've won national awards, you know, the HSJ awards. We've won awards at the National League Trust. So let's go for the hat trick.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, just a reminder to people who have a business or an organisation that getting involved with the Spirites can certainly raise the profile of your brand. So the commercial department would certainly be happy to receive your call or your email to discuss potential opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. As we were talking about Leagate, you know, the visibility that that they've had and the visibility that the club's had this year has been excellent. There's a new TV deal that's been signed with Sky, which means many more games are going to be shown on TV, which obviously gives increased national and local exposure as well. We're obviously back in 1866 Sport to carry on with the radio, which will give exposure there. And we're anticipating 8,500 fans at least every game. So you're getting your exposure there as well. And hopefully people see the benefit, but it's also a great thing to support. What I see is the one thing in the town that binds us all together, which is the football club. And, you know, it's important for the region. It's the thing that brings all these people in, and we've all got to, you know, it's got everyone talking, and it's important for... You know, it's important for the whole community of Chesterfield and, you know, like North Derbyshire. So,
and while we're talking about 1866 Sport as well, a reminder about the programmes going out. Weekend warm up with Phil and Ellie. That's Friday night, and then repeated on Saturday morning. Also, View from the Cop with John Chubb on Saturday mornings. Jeff Hall making a few guest appearances on there. Our ever-popular Spire Lotto agent. And, so you can listen to those and hear from various people involved with the club. Before we wrap up, we need to talk about the season tickets and how they're doing. And we've just reached a landmark figure, I understand.
Well, we have... 3,200 season tickets. We've taken over seven figures in terms of money, which is absolutely outstanding. The season tickets are open at the early bird price until the 30th of April. We'll be publishing the increased prices and the match day prices in the next week. So I'd recommend that you get in there and get your season ticket soon. If you want to renew your seat and save it, again, middle of May, we'll be releasing seats for general sale. But the great news is we set ourselves a target of 5,000 season tickets. As we stand at the minute, if the people who haven't renewed yet, we will sell 5,262 as of roughly me coming in this office.
Roughly.
So
we've
had a massive uptake of new season ticket holders, which is so exciting for the club. It's new supporters coming in and making a commitment to come into the games, which is going to be great for the atmosphere next year. We're going to we are committed to making that North Stand the home cop, another one, a secondary cop, like a family cop. If you're interested in being a drummer on there, just let us know.
To help Yogi,
obviously, because he's been very important this year. Actually, you know, there are times when the stadium's been a bit quiet and he gets everyone going. He's done a fantastic job. But it's astounding the support we're getting, and two, you know, it's going to be a great year next year. Whatever happens, we'll be flying in the Football League. It'll be great to see how the lads do. And importantly, with supporters. So let's get behind them. And the take-up has been
tremendous.
Tremendous. And, you know, it'll be interesting. Talking of benchmarking, it'll be interesting to see where we stack up with season tickets against everyone else in the league. And I don't just mean in terms of numbers, but I mean in terms of the support that we can then pass through to Paul and the squad, i.e. the finances. There's a lot of teams claim they've got a load of season ticket holders, but they give them away. and sort of devalue the product a little. People in Chesterfield know that they pay a good, they pay a fair price for and for really good entertainment. And it's, you know, we get behind our team and we're proper supporters, and that's it's humbling to see how they've got behind the team over the last month. It's absolutely incredible.
It's one of the things which has astounded me this season is our resident heritage expert, Pete, seems to come through virtually every game and say, we've again broken the record for the number of home supporters at a match. And yeah, they'll, it's a record for a Tuesday night. Oh, we broke it again. It's been fantastic.
And yeah, the last game, we are determined to get more home supporters in than we've ever had. And yeah, let's see if we can see how high we can go in terms of capacity and support. And yeah, it's exciting times, isn't it? Exciting,
yeah, absolutely.
Times. I have a little secret target in the back of my head now where we are. I'd love to do 5.5 season ticket. I mean, that's, it is ridiculous to think that that's where we might be. But you know, the rate that those tickets are going, yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Any closing messages to supporters from you both?
I would say that thanks for your support this season. You've driven us on to the Football League. I know it's been appreciated by Paul, his management team and himself, and more of it for next year. I'd encourage you to get season tickets because, you know, I've sort of been down at the stadium when people have come down, oh, I've come for my ticket, or I've been online and can't get one, it's not working. And we say, well, actually, it is working. We've just sold out. So I wouldn't risk it if I was you. I think, as Ash says, it's exciting times, and we're determined to let it continue.
Yeah, I think we're all part of something big that's happening to the town, and let's carry on. Let's get on the roller coaster and keep going, and see where it takes us. And you know, we'll just keep trying to get better every year, and that's what we'll do. And you know, that if we keep doing that, we'll end up in a good place as a football club. And the other thing I'd like to share is if you ever want to get in a club in Chesterfield, rush in waving a trophy over your head. It's amazing how easy the bouncers wave you past.
Did Mandeville tell you that?
Yeah, he passed it. Yeah, yeah, he did.
That's his top tip. Mandy's top tip, you've heard it here. Well, that brings us to the end of this latest We Are Sailing podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, we welcome your feedback on our social media channels. And we'll speak to you soon on another We Are Sailing.